It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
Yay. First of all, no turnovers. It's the first stat I always look at after the game. And just try to be efficient for my teammates. And that was very efficient. You know, as much as I was handling the ball tonight, myself and Kyrie, to not give the opposing team another possession or extra possessions, that's a huge stat for myself. And I never pat myself on the back ever, but I will on that one.
That's a relaxed LeBron James and a monster night. Bulls lose a tough one in Cleveland. Game 6 tomorrow night at the United Center. By the way,
wouldn't you be relaxed after that?
No question. Frank Asola from the New York Daily News, very dialed in the NBA. Derrick Rose missed his last 11 shots. Can you imagine the reaction if Kobe, Carmelo, LeBron, Dwight, or Blake did that in a playoff game, is what he just tweeted. Interesting. Look, Derrick, we talked about Derrick's not the greatest perimeter shooter, but boy, when he's in attack mode.
The suggestion is that Derrick Rose gets a pass from people. I don't know if anyone's paying attention.
He needs to come to Chicago.
I don't think that's a very informed comment at all.
He needs to come to Chicago for a little bit, Frank. Chuck Swirsky is the great voice of the Chicago Bulls. He joins us now. Swirsky, thanks for getting up for us after a rough night last night in Cleveland for the Bulls. Your thoughts on the Matthew Dellavedova, Taj Gibson scrum that somehow ended up with Taj in the locker room and Dellavedova not penalized?
Well, I mean, my first reaction was, again, not based on a replay because we're upstairs and we have limited access only to the Jumbotron that they show the replay. And I think David, you know, probably can attest to that they've showed, you know, that once or twice last night. So
or five or six times.
My initial reaction was that when I saw them get tangled up, I thought there was a possibility Taj was going to get tossed. But after seeing the replay after the game from a different angle, it was very apparent that Dellavedova had Taj in a leg lock. And, you know, when you're in a leg lock and you can't remove your leg and you're trying to free yourself, and you get agitated, I could understand that. Now, do I think after reviewing that side of things that he should have been tossed? No, it probably should have been a flagrant one, and that was it. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think, Chuck, that's a good way to put it, and it's difficult probably in your situation last night to call that live and see everything unfold because it was happening fast. And I just wanted to know, as it was happening, you said once or twice, I think they showed it even more than that. It seemed like repeatedly it was on the video board, and the crowd, each time they showed it, kept on getting louder and more agitated. And I think that it whipped the crowd into a frenzy. And
is that allowed?
Didn't you think?
Yes, now it is.
It is now?
Yes, the same thing in the National Football League and Major League Baseball. Because I think what the sport is trying to do is to enhance the spectators' enjoyment or to bring them in and become more engaged, where before they refused to do that because they thought it would incite the crowd, which it does to a certain extent. But, I mean, I can understand both sides. But I think if you're a spectator, you want to see that replay. And then, of course, it's up to security and the officials to make sure that it doesn't go over the top. But, listen – I don't think he's going to get suspended. He shouldn't get suspended. I know there are a couple of writers in Cleveland that are trying to put a spin on that. J.R. Smith said after the game, I read his quotes, that he thinks that should merit a look from the league office regarding the suspension.
Right.
But I don't think that's going to happen. He could get fined, but if that's the case, that's the case. But I would be shocked if he got suspended for game 6.
Chuck, what about Aaron Brooks' role in all this? Because of all the things that happened, I thought that he may have crossed a line even more than Taj Gibson might have.
Well, yeah, and he could get fined for that. I don't think he's going to get suspended. But, you know, the longer it goes in a series, tempers flare, and it becomes a higher degree because the intensity kicks in. When you play the same opponent every other day, by the human nature of sport, this is going to happen. There's been enough going on in this series. and then some, that, you know, you can see some of the things. And that's why I think Joey Crawford worked last night's game, because this thing started to percolate a little bit, and I think they wanted to nip it in the bud.
Chuck, when you will see how the Bulls try to defend LeBron, look, what he did last night, we've had, what, David, three since 1978?
He's a third player.
Third player since 1978 to score what he scored and have zero turnovers. You see this guy up close and personal. You just do all you can. I mean, is there anything you could change defensively to try and limit what he does?
Well, here's the thing. When you listen, a 10-point lead in this league, as you know, is nothing. And it can evaporate in a heartbeat. You could ask the Bulls in the first quarter, and you could ask the Cavaliers in the fourth quarter. In a blink of an eye, these players are so good, and they're so athletic that within four possessions, you could have a change of a lead in a heartbeat. But I will say this. When you have LeBron outside the lane from 13 feet in on an ISO, you're asking for a lot of trouble. And I'm not a coach. That's up to Tibbs. He does a great job with X's and O's, and I get all that. But I think you've got to double him early, and you got to take the ball out of his hands. And he's an unbelievable passer. And, Dave, you were a former coach, and you know if you get a guy who can throw out of a double team and hit the man and receive the ball where a guy can do something with the ball instead of near his knees, near his ankles, and that he has to elevate, all those things come into play. He hits a man in a rhythm, and he is a magnificent distributor. But having said all this stuff, I double him hard. I'm not letting him beat me. I don't care. And if it's J.R. Smith or it's Kyrie Irving, you got to trust that your rotations and communications are there. But when you have a 6'8", 255-pound man who's that good, who is the best player on the planet, and you expect one man to stop him 13 feet in, good luck to you.
That's why I felt on the game-winning shot on Sunday, David and I talked about this at length, I'm sure you did too, I would not have let him beat me. I don't care if J.R. Smith hits a reload 35-footer. I'm doubling that guy, and he's not getting the ball in the corner with 1.5 left.
Well, I mean, it's Lenny Wilkins in 1989. I mean, how can you not double Jordan?
Right.
And I mean, again, you know what? I understand where you guys are coming from. I can't let him beat me. You know what? If somebody other comes in, I don't care if J.R. Smith's been hot, fine. You know what? Let him attempt. You got 1.5 seconds. I'm not letting LeBron touch the ball.
You know, Chuck, one of the big factors and I guess conversation points in this series has been Joakim Noah. And I think it's just a year ago we're talking about this guy who was an all – NBA center. He was healthy. He was a great passer. We're comparing him to Bill Walton. And this series, you have seen him become, I think, in fairness, an offensive liability. And I think it's – I want to know a lot of things about why this is happening, but I think people wonder how much of this is physical and how much of it is mental, because he looks like he has no confidence in his shot, looks like he doesn't have any confidence in what he wants to do with the basketball. And it looks like every time he touches the ball – the Bulls' offense is, you know, it's in a scary place.
Well, you know what? I get that, but it's also the half-court sets. David, when you're asking a 7-foot man a dribble handoff 27 feet away at the top of the circle, and then things start breaking down and, you know, Cleveland takes away some options, then all of a sudden you look at the shot clock and there are 5 seconds, 6 seconds. I mean, the Bulls lead the NBA in the playoffs with 18, 24-second shot clock violations. So when you have all of a sudden he's looking at the clock, maybe the ball sticks in his hands, maybe players on wing players are covered, maybe Cleveland's cut off angles, but then all of a sudden he has to, you know, put the ball on the floor left of the lane with that, you know, runner that goes off the glass, and, you know, then it becomes a transition the other way. Listen, the way I look at it this way, anything he can give the Bulls offensively is a bonus. I will take his rebounding. He's still in the top five in the playoffs in rebounding. He's averaging 10 per game. And is he the same player of a year ago? No. Is he playing through some things? Probably. I don't know that for a fact, but I do think that this has been a year where he is trying to get himself and his body back to where it once was. I think you're going to see a different player next year. I really do.
We're talking to Chuck Swirsky, the great voice of the Chicago Bulls on the Bulls Radio Network and on AM 1000. Pau Gasol said, if I get to 50%, I'm going to try and play. Joakim Noah doesn't look like he's even at that in terms of his health. Have you seen Joakim go downward health-wise this season, or no, he's been pretty much like this the whole year?
Well, I mean, you know, they have put some minute restrictions on Joe during the regular season. Excuse me, during the regular season. And you know what, Dave? I would think that he is. We're talking about Noah now, right? Not
yeah,
Powell.
Noah.
I would think that you know, there have been flashes where Noah has been the old Noah. There have been flashes where you can see he's labored. But again, I think this has been a year where he's trying to get back to where he once was. I really do, Dave. I don't think that we have seen the Joakim Noah of last year by any stretch.
Agreed.
Chuck, you know, you never can count out this Bulls team. I think they're down 17 last night, and they still come back to make it a game that goes down to the final possession. They're down 3-2 in a series. 82% of teams in best of sevens who win game five win the series. But what do you expect on Thursday night, and how do you see this series eventually finishing up, if it is Thursday or Sunday in Cleveland?
Well, I think a lot of people are expecting, because I'm the broadcaster for the Bulls, I'm an employee of the Bulls, that I'm going to, you know, just go with the company line. I'm telling you, this series is not over yet. It would not surprise me at all to see the Bulls force a game seven. You know, they've got to obviously bring the intensity. They got to run their offense. Their defense has been leaky at times. And, you know, you just can't give up 106 points. But I still believe this series is headed back to Cleveland. I really do. Then you get into Game 7, and who knows what to expect in a Game 7. But I think this series is going back.
Chuck, appreciate your time. Enjoy your day today, and we'll look forward to listening to your call tomorrow. And here's, oh, by the way, the call on the D-Rose game winner. Put that in your highlight reel. That was awesome.
Yeah, well, you know what? The highs and lows, because 48 hours later, Dave,
yeah. A spear in the heart when LeBron hits one.
That's true.
Thanks, Chuck.
That is true.
All the best.
See you Thursday.
Take care. There he is. Chuck Swirsky, great voice of the Chicago Bulls. The Swirsk. I replaced him at WGN 20 years ago.
You replaced him?
Yeah.
Wow.
He left to go to the University of Michigan.
And then to Toronto.
And then to Toronto, yeah. And then to Chicago. Back home. 312-235-2525. 312-235-2525. We'll go back to your calls, and we will talk some hockey coming up a little later. Yeah. Hey, on CSN today, Sox Brewers will tee it up at 7 o'clock. I'll have Sports Talk Live at 5:30. Cubs wrap up their series with the Mets tomorrow at 12:30 with pregame live with Chris Bowden and Todd Hollinsworth. I'll be off the next couple days. And Bulls postgame live tomorrow immediately following game six.
And I want to talk about some other things that went on in the NBA yesterday that may or may not have an impact on the Bulls and Tom Thibodeau.
Would one of them be a Notre Dame tie?
Could be.
All right, we'll get to that after this. It's Cap and Haw. David back from Cleveland. We're talking Bulls, but we got more to do with you. 312-235-2525.
It's Cap and Haw.
Casey Johnson with the Chicago Tribune. Tom, you trimmed the 17-point deficit to two, and you had possession, and Jimmy took that three-pointer. Was that the shot you were looking for? And were you...
Well, was it wide open?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Yeah, that's what we were looking for.
Right before that, there was another possession where Jimmy was wide open and seemed to pass the ball. Is that a three he should have taken? You know, the possession right before?
The thing is, now we're going to measure every shot. I mean, come on, guys. Come on. Come on. When you watch the film and you look at it and then you want to make a comment like that, go ahead.
Wow. Firing on KC and Colley. Back to back. That's Thibs.
Wasn't in a good mood.
Understandably so.
Understandably so, yeah.
He may have one game left in his Bulls tenure.
He could. He really could.
Cap and Hog, Comcast Sports at WGN Plus.
We could be sitting here Friday morning talking about the offseason for the Bulls and what changes lie ahead. And you know, we could be sitting here next week, a week from now.
Discussing who the new coach is going to be.
Yeah, who the new coach is and how Tom Thibodeau is going to like Cajun cooking. Because it looks like yesterday Monty Williams was fired.
Yep.
Just after the show ended. Like at noon.
You were packing your stuff to leave. You had a flight. And I said, hey, they just fired Monty Williams in New Orleans.
Surprising.
What?
Because the thought process around the league was Pelicans make the playoffs. They were the sixth seed.
Well, Tom Benson, the owner who owns the Saints, came out 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago and publicly said, I want to commend Monty and his staff. What a great job they did getting us to the playoffs. 3-4 weeks later, which leads you to believe they already know they can get somebody else, and that's why they made the move.
Maybe. Or they're hearing a lot of different voices giving advice. I don't quite know. I mean, there's a report that Joe Dumars has been involved in consulting with the Benson family and the Pelicans, and you know the former, because he's from Louisiana. Mickey Loomis is involved down there, the Saints general manager. It's a very strange ownership dynamic. Also, you know who the general manager is for the Pelicans?
Hold on.
Some local connection here.
Who is it?
It's Trey Demps' father.
That's right,
Dell Demps.
Correct.
So Trey Demps being the Northwestern guard who had a pretty good year last year. So there's a lot of things going on. I don't know if it's a power struggle. I don't know what the circumstances are. I just know Monty Williams has developed a pretty good reputation in the league for being a coach that gets results out of a team. And that team with Anthony Davis, now that is coachless, is a very attractive job.
No question. Well, that was the job Thibs was going to take till the Bulls stepped in and offered him this one.
He took the Bulls job over New Orleans back when he, you know, that was 2010. And he made the right decision. And now, though, it makes you wonder if the same people are involved. And look, everybody expects Tom Thibodeau and the Bulls to part company. It would now, at this point, be a surprise if they didn't. I mean, it'll send ripples through the coaching industry, certainly.
If he stays?
No, if he goes.
Oh, yeah.
If he stays, I think that it will take a act of remarkable, concession on someone's part, or both people's, or both sides. I don't think anybody expects that to happen, given the way. Now, we could be talking about an NBA Finals thing, but if the end is sooner rather than later, I don't think anybody expects Tom Thibodeau to remain the Bulls head coach.
Well, I still remember doing an interview with Jerry Krause, who I have a nice relationship with now. And we had our differences back then, but I remember the day they signed Phil to his last deal. Phil Jackson gets a one-year extension, and Jerry says, it's a great day for the Chicago Bulls. On a call with me, I'm taping it right downstairs. And I said, great day because you got Phil re-signed? He said, no, because we know this is Phil's last year, and we're looking to the future. We'll take one more run at this thing. And I'm thinking, wow.
Be careful what you wish for.
It's really that bad having him. And so he leaves. The whole thing just blows apart. And now we've gotten to this point with Thibs, and you're thinking, man, is it that bad? I guess it is.
I don't know. I don't like to speculate in print about guys when they have jobs and other jobs, and I just don't. I think that's a good rule of thumb to kind of stay away from that. You don't want to follow up on rumors unless you know that situations are bound to change, unless you have something factual, some factual basis to to write on or to form your opinion on.
Right. I don't pay any attention to it. It's all noise.
It is all noise, Tom. But this is so consistent that, you know, looking ahead, it is speculative to say Tom Thibodeau could be the next Pelicans head coach. And yet everybody who covers the NBA yesterday was coming to the same, and I don't say conclusion, but posing the same question.
Well, the New Orleans media, I went online and read that.
Number one
at the top of the list, Tom Thibodeau.
Every talk show host, columnist, pundit in New Orleans is involving sport
because
has Tom Thibodeau at the top of that list.
Because Thibs has a relationship with Anthony Davis. They like each other.
Yes.
He's coached them.
Well, who wouldn't like Anthony Davis?
Correct.
But he does have direct. Anthony Davis is not going to be in for any shock if Tom Thibodeau says at the first practice, we're going 3 hours today, or whatever it is. You know,
he's been around
there.
Him.
Yes.
Yeah, no question.
That's important.
It is.
So the people that could be his bosses need to know that too. So Denver's open. Orlando's open.
Minnesota's open.
He's not going to Minnesota.
Who, Thibs?
Yeah.
No.
And New Orleans is open. Now, the only thing that is tricky with the timing-wise, people have said, well, what about Cleveland? David Blatt is going to be the arrogant one. He's going to be on the way out the door. The timing may not work out. Cleveland may not get rid of a new coach, get rid of their coach until after they're done disposing of the Bulls if they do that. So, fact of the matter is, whenever the Bulls offseason begins, it starts day one of Tom Thibodeau hunting season for NBA general managers.
No question.
Because the word is out. Now, it's tricky. Number one, if it is New Orleans, is there any code, former coach that you are, is there any code amongst coaches not to take a job where your buddy just got fired?
No. No. Now, if you told me that, let me paint a scenario.
So Tom Thibodeau would not be inhibited by the fact the Pelicans want to hire him just after firing a guy he was friends with.
No.
Described yesterday as a great person, great coach, great individual.
No.
Okay.
Now, if you told me that Thibs leaves the Bulls, Monty Williams is still the coach in New Orleans, and they want Thibs to come in as a consultant next January to oversee things, right, and then they're going to fire Monty at the end, he would never do that to a friend.
Like hover.
But once the job
like hover,
is – or yeah.
Like he would Joe never Quenville be a, did to Dennis Savard?
A helicopter.
Although Joe Quenville didn't really do that to Dennis Savard.
No, he came in as a scout looking for a gig. He'd been fired, and it was different.
And plus, we didn't pay that close attention to the Blackhawks back then.
No,
yet.
We did
anyway,
not. We did not.
We really didn't even see Q coming in the back door.
We're like, huh? What?
Like, Quenville, is that two N's? One E? What? How do you spell that again?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he wouldn't do that. But the job's open. He finishes coaching the Bulls here and then gets the offer. He'd take it.
Everyone has to do their job.
All right, so you think there's no problem with that?
Correct.
All right, the second question is a tougher one to answer.
Mm-hmm.
What is the escape plan? Tom Thibodeau might not go down easily. He might not leave town quietly, okay? Do you really want to be the front office that fires this coach, number one? Or two, can you work out trade compensation with the franchise? Are they willing to... Do you have that conversation if you don't know where it's going? You know what I mean? Like if you're
no,
a lawyer, do you ask a question that you don't know the answer to?
I think they already know the answer to it, that he's leaving.
But if you want to trade him, because he's still under contract for two more years, he's your
property. But if I'm New Orleans, I say to you, you call me up, you're PAX. What do you want? I want a number one pick.
I want a number one.
Good luck to you. Let him coach you next year. Keep him. He's yours. That would be my stance.
But don't you want him if you're New Orleans?
Yes, but I don't believe you do. You don't want him.
But what? Aren't you afraid if you're New Orleans that they might work out a deal that maybe Orlando would give you a first-round pick? I know that Tom Thibodeau has to write off on any sort of trade.
If I talk to Tom and you know that back-channel stuff goes on, or his agents at CAA, and they're
probably
like,
already done.
He's not going to Orlando. He wants to come with you. Just hold your ground.
3 weeks ago, it was Orlando. 3 weeks ago, Orlando looked pretty good.
Right. But what if Leon Rose or whoever his agent is, whoever one of the guys at CAA is, says to Dell Demps, Dell, don't give in. He's not going to take Orlando. They can do all they want to try and trade. He wants to come to you. Hold your ground. Throw him a second-round pick
or two.
They
could orchestrate that, I think. Yeah.
No question.
Got to get it done. Got to get it done.
Got to get it done. It's interesting. There's a lot of things going on that have very little to do with Game 6, but that is the backdrop to this Bulls season, the behind-the-scenes drama that is noise. Sometimes it's louder than other times, but it's all there, and it's all very real. It's not manufactured by the media. It's not manufactured by anybody. It exists.
All right. We'll go back to your calls and – we are going to talk at 10:55 to someone with the Anaheim Ducks broadcast team. Dan Wood is their color analyst, and his Twitter is Duck at Ducks Color Man, at Ducks Color Man. So he will be opining on all things Anaheim. So we'll find
opining.
Out.
Opining. I can't wait to opine.
He'll opine. Hey, when was the last time you bought yourself a new pillow? If you're like my buddy Terry Cortez, our great director over at CSN, it was yesterday. He comes up to me in the office, says, hey, man, I hear these MyPillow ads. Are they really that good? I said, no, they're better than that, Terry. They're the greatest pillow you'll ever sleep on. He went online, he punched in the code CAP, K-A-P, and he bought he and his lovely wife some beautiful pillows. Guess what? You can do the same thing. Most comfortable pillow out there, guaranteed. Official pillow recommended by me and the National Sleep Foundation. I've praised the product for a long time. Four different support levels, conforming to your preferred shape. They even create a cooling effect throughout the night, keeping your head cool and comfortable. They've sold over 5 million. You get a 10-year warranty, and they're so confident that Terry or you are going to love it. They give you a 60-day money-back guarantee. Sleep on it. If you're not happy, they refund 100% of the purchase price. Trust me, you'll love them. Act this week. MyPillow gives you 50% off all products using the promo code CAP, K-A-P. Log on to MyPillow.com. Use promo code CAP, K-A-P, or 800-299-5854. 800-299-5854. Use the promo code K-A-P, 50% off. Best pillow you'll ever sleep on, I promise. 312-235-2525. We have got Michael down in Arkansas, Sharice, Laverne, Kelly, Ed, and all of you. We'll get to all your calls. Those are next. He's David Haw, the outstanding lead columnist of the Chicago Tribune. I'm David Kaplan. We'll be right back.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN+.
Tom, what about on the rebound that on James missed? That you guys weren't able to get the rebound.
Yeah, big play. Big play. Big play. And, you know, when you look at the game, it comes down to, you know, the rebound there, the open shot. And I like the fight that we had to come back. The second quarter was a big problem for us. Jimmy getting in foul trouble hurt us. The guys coming in, got to get it done. Got to get it done. We got to play a lot tougher than we played tonight.
More with our guy Thibs, who was none too pleased to leave last night, down 3-2 in the series. Cap and Haw continues on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN+.
I don't know if it's just a lot tougher. I think they got to be a lot smarter, too. They just have to be a lot more of everything. Quicker, straighter.
And I will say it again. I said yesterday when Will was on with us, they had to score a minimum of 98 points to win that game.
Minimum?
Yeah, if the game's in the 80s, they're not going to win the game, right, in my opinion. Let's go back to the phones.
They scored 101.
They did. They got there, but Cleveland was able to best them 106.
Well, was it wide open?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Yeah, that's what we were looking for.
That was a great answer.
Love it. Were you in there when that happened?
Yeah. Yeah, I was typing and watching and laughing.
Well, was it wide open?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Yeah, that's what we were looking for.
I was like, okay, there's no way I could even, like, you know, that doesn't fit. You have to sort of explain the context. It's just like Thibs being Thibs.
Come on, guys.
Come on. Come on, guys.
What kind of questions are these?
He's frustrated.
That was
great. I would be too, but, I mean, yeah, he was in – that was vintage Tom Thibodeau.
Got to get it done.
Gonna miss
gotta
that.
Got to get it done.
That was phenomenal.
Might miss that a little
bit. Absolutely loved it. Michael's in Arkansas. Michael, what's going on there? Sparkles.
Hey, Michael.
How y'all doing this morning?
All right.
Mr. Captain, Mr. Ha.
What's up?
I got everybody get ready and enjoy y'all. Hopefully not the last game with Tom Pierce. It might be his last game. Well, it's going to be a last game and we don't win this.
Michael, what are you doing? Jogging or what?
No, I'm out here. Out here in the sun. I get so hyper, man, when I get on the radio.
You can hear all the wind out there.
I got 3 points I want to make.
Okay.
And I also want to talk about that shot that I was talking about, the jump shot.
That'd be four.
Please let me get that off.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, Doug. We got also, Cap, you as a coach, you know that the offensive drafts are bad. I mean, no moving around. Even Chris Webber said last night, I haven't seen a backdoor cut but once or twice tonight. I mean, what is going on with that? And the play calling, the last minute or two of the offensive play calling. Why is his mind not offensively minded at the end of ball games? We got Larry Brown, all these guys, great coaches that live and die for the last minute or 2 minutes of a ball game. and being physical. They're not being physical enough, but they're killing us. I mean, and again, back to that jump shot. I got a question I got to ask y'all. If the ball is shot and it spin around and go in, or the ball hit the back of the rim and go up and come straight down, why is it a shooter's touch? And when it hit the backboard, it's not a shooter's touch, it's luck. Can y'all please tell me that?
Because that...
Come on.
Michael,
Confucius
that shot was so... It was even Derek said, I didn't call glass. That shot was way off. If you just tick the rim and it bounces around, it's a nice soft shot, not a line drive. We call that a shooter's touch. When you throw one up from 27 feet and it bangs off the board and goes through, you go, glad it went in. Better to be lucky than good. It's just a difference, man.
Paul Pierce did it. I mean, but he's a great shooter, right?
He's a great shooter. He's got it, but he's been a career-wise, he's been a better shooter than Derrick Rose.
Yeah, Derrick's not a good shooter. He isn't. It is what it is.
But he can work on to be a better shooter.
Yes, he can.
He can get better, no question. He'll go into this first summer where he's not rehabbing from an injury for a long time. Michael, appreciate the call,
buddy.
Thanks,
Michael.
Laverne in Chicago. Hey, Laverne, how's Shirley?
Hey, Laverne.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
How are you?
I'm great. Not that great, but I'm great. I want to start off by disagreeing with you guys about LeBron being the best player on the planet. We have a lot of great talent within the NBA, and this is not the greatest player.
Oh, my God.
Who
Laverne,
is Laverne?
If I gave you all Laverne, hold on a second. Laverne,
okay.
If there's a draft, you have the number one pick. We're letting every player be up for a draft. Who are you taking number one in the NBA?
Who will I take number one in the NBA?
Yeah.
Honestly?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with – I'm a Chicago Bulls fan. I will say Derrick Rose.
Laverne, you have officially lost your mind.
I'm a Bulls fan, though, first and foremost. And you guys, you really ride Derrick pretty hard, and I can understand that. But I have a question for you guys. I'm watching the game, and it's the two minutes and something to go, and – I was sort of a little curious. Did you guys see the foul that LeBron gave and he wasn't called for it? I mean, I'm dumbfounded that this guy, he gets the best calls, he gets all the breaks, and he's considered the best player in the world. Do you actually think that if LeBron was by himself on the court with a full team, with the same referees, basically, he'd probably win the game by himself? Just on the court by itself against the whole team.
Jesus.
Every single break within the NBA.
Thanks, Laverne.
Thank you. Have a good day there, darling.
He gets a lot of calls. He complains a lot. That's the only thing about LeBron James I don't like on the court. He complains every time. Every time he doesn't get the call.
He expects to get every call.
But he's been to four straight NBA finals. He's recognized for a reason.
He's one of the top 10 players of all time.
It's wasted breath to try to explain why LeBron James is better than everybody else, because
correct.
He just is.
Correct. Back to the phones we go. Kelly is in Oregon, Illinois.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Hello. I love
your guys.
What's
going
on,
you duck? What's going on?
I love Chicago sports, but I want to get back to the Hack-a-Shack thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about the fouling is it's called a foul for a reason. I realize this is high school basketball, but these guys get too many fouls. If you got 10 players on your team and you get 6 fouls, that's 60 fouls a game, okay? And they don't even call half the fouls. You need to take some of them foul numbers down that each player gets per game. And to mention this, every time the Bulls go down and fight so hard for rebound position, we get shoved in the back out of the way and they take the ball. It's happening every time down the court. They don't even call it. And, yes, I believe Chicago will win Thursday night because the refs owe us one.
Oh, they might have other reasons.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly. I don't know anymore what is a foul in this series and what isn't. I watch contact and you think, oh, that's got to be a foul. There was a play last night, might have been Noah, I forget, but I remember next to Teddy and saying, what, how do you miss that? How is that a no call? And then they'll call something that you think, well, they didn't call that.
Well, how
that,
did they not
so.
Call the foul on Noah with 1.5 left? He mugged LeBron.
It's so inconsistent, and it's so arbitrary.
Do they ever make the officials available for you guys to talk
no.
to?
No. Well, I think sometimes there's a pool reporter that can get like a
if there's a controversial
if there's
thing.
A controversial review. Yeah.
It's not like we can get Joey Crawford on the air.
No.
That'd be awesome.
That would be entertaining.
Ah.
But you can see why they wouldn't do that, right?
So I was at a hotel bar one night. I got done doing a college game. Mm-hmm. And I was flying out early the next morning. I told you I stayed at the Marriott O'Hare. Mm-hmm. Joey Crawford's at the bar. And one of the guys I'm with knows Joey. We end up staying there till they close the bar at the Marriott O'Hare, hanging with Joey Crawford. He's telling stories. He is everything that you would expect him to be, a showman and a charismatic guy. He's all of it.
He likes the attention.
Loves it.
Yeah, he reminds me watching him officiate an NBA game is like watching Ted Valentine do a college game.
Yes. Very good comparison.
Because they like being part of the show.
They don't mind being booed by 18 to 23,000.
He likes being a cast member in the NBA telecast on TNT.
Well said, David Haw. You got a future in that wordsmith business.
Thank you, Cap.
Get the ultimate experience at the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV Adapt in Glenview. Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD. You can get the fastest internet smart TV functions available. You can watch this show in crystal clear HD. Come in the app today. See the complete selection of Samsung electronics or call them up at 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience, shop where we all shop. It's Apt, A-B-T. Apt.com, app pleasing people since 1936. Take the time out. We'll come right back. It's Cap and Hall rolling on. We'll get into some hockey talk in about 10 minutes.
Also, we might talk about the Illinois revelations that add to the problems for Tim Beckman. They
Correct.
Keep mounting.
All right, you got it. Be right back.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN+.
If they want to build champions, we're all in this together. Not everybody's going to see the same thing, but I think as much positive stuff as we can continue to broadcast about this great institution and the athletic programs that we have, and how our athletic programs are moving forward, really every category of sports that we play, what we're doing academically. I think there's a lot of things that you can talk about positively with this program.
Specifically to the media when you say that?
Everybody. Everybody. Let's build this thing into a championship, and the more positive stuff you can talk about, the better off we all are.
That's Tim Beckman, Illinois football coach.
Yeah, nobody's going to be that positive about what's going on right now, and they shouldn't be.
Lots of allegations started by Simon Savanovich, and now a second player in a Shannon Ryan, Jared Hopkins story, alleging misconduct.
Yeah, Nick North. Nick North claimed he was, quote, harassed by Beckman, who tried to pressure him into signing a release from his scholarship. Another sort of situation that involves how to deal with an injury, the limits, and everything to do. You know, the parents are quoted in the Tribune story. It alleges that, you know, basically it was a career-ending knee injury, and a doctor sought out privately for a second opinion and said he was capable of continuing to play. So said that they're accusing the Illinois medical staff of mistreating the injury. This is a second allegation made against Beckman, and this is similar in that it claims that when Tim Beckman didn't get his way, that he attempted to peg it. Willis North said Beckman attempted to peg his son as, quote, a troublemaker. Now, more of this stuff could come
including out. Including administering frequent drug tests that were not given to the rest of the team.
There could be other things that come out. There's going to be support for him from players, as are quoted as well in the story in today's Chicago Tribune by Shannon Ryan and Jared Hopkins. Illinois is going about this the right way now, though, I think. The chancellor's office has taken over. They will conduct an investigation excluding the athletic department. And that's important. Why? That's important because Mike Thomas came out in pretty much full support of Tim Beckman before he had
the facts.
The facts. Now, on one hand, you applaud a boss that supports his people. You want to work for a guy like that, a woman like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You like to when your boss has your back. By the same token, you have to be very careful that you don't overstep your bounds there, that you can't promise something that can't be delivered.
But he did say that he promised a full review of the facts.
But when the National College Players Association heard that, they thought that it was odd that he would promise a full investigation into the situation if he's already pledged his support to his coach. To me, that sounds like you're, you know, well, I'll look into it. You know, I'll, like, if we're partners and, you know, the books look out of whack and somebody wants to look at them, I say, well, I'll look at them. I'll take care of it. You know, we have a relationship, so it's not going to be as objective, as thorough, as impartial. And you need, if you're Illinois, you need an impartial look into what's gone on.
You need Ted Wells.
You need Ted Wells. They need their Ted Wells. You don't want it to cost millions and millions of dollars. You don't have the NFL's largesse. You need money. You need enough of a credible, whether it's a lawyer, somebody to look into this. And it's going to be the chancellor's office. You know, and the other thing is that there's news trickling out that Tim Beckman, Jared Hopkins, and Shannon Ryan, again, dealt with a Toledo lineman, an ex-player for him in Toledo, who sued him last year because, and it was thrown out of court, but it was because he was basically Tim Beckman was accused of violating the state's hazing law in Ohio, his first recruit there, and an incident that happened with, quote, the O-line challenge. Bottom line is, if you're Tim Beckman, I don't think that you can issue statements for the rest of this. He issued another statement yesterday talking about how he treats players like family. You have a credibility problem.
Offensive lineman Teddy Karras told Shannon Ryan and Jared Hopkins of the Tribune, "I never felt abused or mistreated by the staff. They handled my knee injury extremely professionally." Linebacker Mason Monheim said Savanovic is trying to piece apart our team, and it's unfortunate because of what we have going. Now, you know, there's been some about the trainer that was there that only stayed a year, Toby Harkins.
Toby Harkins, yeah.
January 2013 till he resigned in August of that year. He has his license in Florida. His wife is also a certified athletic trainer. He has been the athletic trainer at Marshall, Charleston Southern, Erskine College. He now works for University of Florida Orthopedics at Sports Medicine Institute and has his license there in the state of Florida. I talked to a trainer last night, and I asked him about not having the license here in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's pretty procedural. He said it's like a lawyer who's licensed in Illinois going to another state, and he hasn't gotten his license yet or passed their bar, but he is a lawyer. He said it's not like you're using some unqualified trainer. He said he stayed a year. He got the license a month after he left. It was issued, but he had already left Illinois.
But he was not making any sort of attempt to get the license while he was under the University of Illinois.
Well, he must have, because he got it a month later after he'd already left the
state. But he wasn't certified. I mean, I think that there's some gray area there that, you know, what if he would have been sued during that period, that time period, when he was uncertified?
I don't know.
See, I mean, I think there's some issues here that haven't adequately been addressed yet. We don't know a lot. It's going to come down to this issue. It's going to be about the medicals. This can be documented. The information that was shared or not shared with players, what the football coach and his staff's role was in communicating with players and making them feel, you know, appropriately handled, cared for or not, and whether or not they were harassed. This trainer issue is not something that I think is going to be easy to dismiss. And finally, I think that, you know, Mike Thomas might eventually have a lot to answer for if the investigation is thorough and it's found that he did not, you know, have a tight grip on all this as it unraveled. Because it sounded like this was a pretty hostile environment, Illinois football, over the last couple of years.
That, to me, is the way bigger issue.
Well, it's all related, though, Cap. Bigger issue than what?
the trainer issue from the people I've asked who are trainers, who said he's licensed in other states. He's not an he hadn't gotten the official paperwork here, but they said he's not an unqualified person.
He may be the greatest guy in the world. He may be able to tape an ankle like nobody's business. He may be able to stretch out a hamstring like the best trainer in the world. He may be able to do all these things, but Cap, it's a symptom of a bigger problem. If you have a lack of oversight, and that is the biggest problem here, there's no direction, there's sloppy management, there's poor people skills being executed here. It's all part of it. And so if you're looking at this as a whole and you're the chancellor at the University of Illinois and you're thinking, what is going on with this school's athletic department, big picture, what is going on with that football program?
That's the bigger issue to me. If there's an abusive culture under Tim Beckman, that to me is the biggest story.
But I don't know that you're going to be able to prove that as much as you'll be able to prove some of these other things that you can document. Abusive culture is a vague term, and it's definitely open to interpretation. Some of these other things aren't. You can prove the guy wasn't licensed, even though he might have been making strides to get it. He wasn't.
No. What I'm saying is, if he's licensed in multiple other states, and the paperwork hasn't been approved here yet, these trainers are telling me that's common practice. You move from another state, you start your job until you get your paperwork. It's not.
Why'd they fire him
then?
Why'd they fire him?
I don't know.
Okay, so there's got to be some reason there that there's something wrong when the guy comes for 1 year. That doesn't typically happen. And number two, the stuff with the medical team, the doctors, the staff.
Oh, he was not fired, by the way, by Illinois, the trainer. He resigned.
Why did he resign?
To take a job in Florida.
This job?
Apparently, yeah.
Okay, there's something fishy about this whole relationship with the trainer and the program. If there wasn't, I don't think his name would be invoked here. I think that it's naive to dismiss it. This is all part of a bigger problem that they have to try to get under control. And it seems like this isn't the end of it. I think this is maybe just the beginning.
Yeah, it sounds like this is going to get bigger and bigger. We'll switch to hockey, talk about the Blackhawks and the Ducks. A lot coming up with the series probably starting on Sunday, we should note today. 312-235-2525. Be right back.